Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Hey, it seems crazy because we're still here. We're still doing radio on the internet. That's right, live on the internet, madisontalks.com or on Facebook Live. And Brian Beebe, who is he sitting far enough down to get his pretty mug in the shot? Yeah, there we go. I think he is. Did a podcast himself at 3 o'clock, the Brian Beebe Show, Brian Beebe Podcast Extraordinaire, Sorrento's Lounge up in Lake Delton / Wisconsin Dells. I always separate the two, and though we should say the Dells. Great singer, piano player, singer from Thursday through Sunday, 7 to 10. No, I always get the times wrong.
7 to whenever we fall down.
Whatever you finish. Yeah. But part of the reason why you're still here, and by the way, listen to that podcast, madisontalks.com. It's great stuff. He sounds like Paul McCartney more than Paul McCartney and more like Michael McDonald than Michael McDonald.
Yeah, not me.
Who am I leaving out here? Everybody.
I sound more like Bobby Darin than
He hates Bobby Darin. I don't know why. He just hates the people I like. The people that are voted by,
only because it bugs you.
And, millions and millions of records, that's usually a killer. But, he'd rather us listen to the Cowsills, when they had a backup drummer.
I like
but
the
in any event. No, but you have, two kids? How many children do you have in St. Petersburg, Florida, in the eye of the hurricane? I have two kids. There, you have two that live down there?
Yeah, but one of them just moved up here. So one's in one's in danger and one's out.
What did he move, the Dells?
He moved here, yeah.
We want to talk in the mic, or are we going to do this by?
Oh no,
we're going to do this by proxy.
But you know what? I was going to see if my son would.
You have one son. I have two children who live in St. Petersburg, Florida, who are visiting me now. But tomorrow morning they fly back into the mouth of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of the comedian Chris Morton, who after Katrina would talk about how all the cars on the video, you had the overhead shot, the cars were all streaming. Going away from New Orleans, driving north.
Yeah.
And then you'd see that one car going back toward New Orleans. He said, there must be a father in that car. If you don't settle down, I'm going to take you back into the mouth of the hurricane. One more outburst, and we're going into the mouth of the hurricane. I mean, sometimes you got to be a parent. Remember that when the mayor would say, because they had all these school buses that they didn't utilize to evacuate people, and they called him, what was his name was Mayor Nagin? Was that the guy in New Orleans?
Yes, it was.
And they said, they called him school bus Nagin, because all the school buses were just there dormant, and they weren't being used. And he goes, well, we had plenty of school buses, we didn't have enough drivers. He said, we needed some more drivers. Because the drivers all left.
Anybody could have driven them, though.
Well, what if you live in the Florida Keys right now, and, there's one way to get out of Key West and Marathon and all those places? Because I drove once from Miami to Key West. Beautiful drive, by the way, for my cousin's wedding in Key West, which I think the marriage itself was shorter than the wedding itself. I mean, getting to the wedding and the wedding and getting home were longer than the marriage. But still. And that was we had a big snowstorm, and I had to reconfigure the whole. Instead of waiting the next morning for the snow, because they usually move the snow like that day or that night, and sometimes you panic.
Right.
So instead of doing that and, just rescheduling the flight of O'Hare the next day and flying out of Key West that Sunday night, I ended up going to Minneapolis and driving from. I stayed in like a Farm Aid motel in Tampa where I thought these guys with ponytails were going to kill me. And. Walked across a parking lot, and some guy goes, you have a pretty mouth, son. Got a pretty mouth. And, then I drove from Miami to Key West, instead of just doing the whatever. Kind of reminded me of Jack Lemmon in The Out-of-Towners, when he tried to take a train, and the next morning the guy said, I just flew in from Boston this morning, and air conditioned. Anyway, so you're not worried about, you're worried about your other son, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just going to see if
He'll call in,
give us a report.
All right, here's the deal. My son, and of course I'm worried about him because they're flying into the mouth of it, but they're watching it, and they're thinking, it's going to go east of Florida maybe and miss the state to the east, or at least hit the East Coast only, is what I'm now beginning.
That's what they're hoping for.
But I don't wish this on the people of the East Coast, but my kids live in St. Petersburg, so of course they're my kids. You know, we get a little primal, protective or nativist, or what's the word on that?
Yeah, you don't want ethnocentric. No, family-centric.
Well, family-centric, I bet. But so you're working, I'm thinking, well, what are you doing? You know, because my son's girlfriend's parents are staying up in Door County for the summer. I go, well, you just go up and stay there. But they want to go back down and get their stuff and, you know, be ready to evacuate. Because they say, what, Saturday or Sunday it's going to hit? So that gives them a day or two to get all their stuff. Because, everybody cares about their stuff. You care about your stuff, right? You probably have valuable stuff.
I don't have any stuff.
Well, haven't you accumulated, CDs or tapes or pictures or something over the years?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing of value?
I don't keep anything.
Well,
then that's okay. I mean, I don't miss it.
I mean, you're perfect to live in a hurricane. I mean, you could just be like in that nursing home what's the one in Texas? Harvey?
Yeah.
I always think of Jimmy Stewart. Harvey. Harvey. But these people in nursing homes are just playing cards. The water's up to their chest, and they're still playing cards. I mean, that's...
Well, here's what I think. They've already left Florida because they don't have anything to do. They saw it coming. They choked the highways up 3 days ago. You know what I mean?
Who's they?
The older folks that haven't...
The older folks,
they've evacuated a lot ago.
Well, there are a lot of older folks in Florida, as you can attest, having been a piano star back in the day.
Millions.
And you had all those requests from the councils back in those days, I'm sure. Nothing from Frank.
No, or Bobby Darin.
Or Bobby Darin, yeah.
Nobody ever asked for that stuff.
Mac
the Knife.
Says a lot right there, but you used to open the show with Mac the Knife? Anyway.
You did?
No, he did. He opened the show.
Yeah, good.
People said, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, my grandparents saw him in Clouse Hall. I was going to say, my son's showing me the thing on the phone, and they're charging $1,800 for a one-way ticket from Tampa to Milwaukee.
What?
He showed it on his phone last
Crazy.
Night. A one-way flight from Tampa to Milwaukee, $1,800.
Can't be.
Now they're going to say, I'm just trying to get out. I mean, to me, isn't that just the ultimate example of just craven, disgusting, sleazy profiteering?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that just the worst? I mean, that's almost as bad as going to the movie theater and paying $6 for a Coke or whatever. It's $5.25 for a large pop, $5.75 for a popcorn or whatever it is,
It's not really quite like that at all. $1,800 for a one-way ticket or $5.25 for a
Your point is, the $1,800 for a ticket would be worse than
the $5.25 for the Coke.
I think so.
You think so too, Mike?
A little more unusual, too.
So here's the question. Brett Hulsey hopefully will join us here during the show because global warming. Did you get that last video I had with Chris Cuomo fighting with Kellyanne? Here's Kellyanne Conway, who's the spinster for the White House, for the Trump administration, going on there talking to Chris Cuomo of CNN. Chris Cuomo, of course, the son of the late Mario Cuomo, the former governor of New York, who did that famous Tale of Two Cities speech in 84 convention. And they're fighting over global warming. They're talking about Hurricane Harvey. And Chris Cuomo wants to get to the whole point of why are these storms happening? Is it global warming? And Kellyanne, it's too much. Here's the fight.
My focus is on the people who are affected now.
That's right.
Not something you want to politicize from 5 years
ago. But that's what happened.
My concern are the women and the children and the families and the destroyed homes and the people who are in a very different situation than they were just a week ago.
Of course, and that's why Chris Christie...
And we're here to help them.
And that's why Chris Christie's making the rounds on television saying in full-throated fashion, don't do it again. You took 60-something days to approve the money because you played politics and you wanted budget set-offs and it wasn't a clean bill. Avoid those problems this time. That's all I'm saying. That's not disrespecting the survivors. That is respecting the survivors and making sure that they don't get caught up in political mishigas like happened the last time. That's my point.
Okay.
We agree. Shocking. All right, let's move on to something else. One of the themes that's coming out of this and it's not a discussion just to have now, but certainly in the weeks and months as we move forward, is whether or not what happened in Harvey and why it's happening and why these storms happen open up a discussion about the role of climate change. Is the president, is the administration open to that conversation?
Chris, we're trying to help the people whose lives are literally underwater, and you want to have a conversation about climate change. I mean, that is, I'm not going to engage in that right now because I work for a president and a vice president and a country that is very focused on helping the millions of affected Texans and, God forbid, Louisianans if it ends up.
Imagine if we could find ways to reduce the number of these storms. Imagine if we could figure out why a 100-year storm seems to happen every other year. I mean, you have all these scientists saying climate change is part of the equation. It's a question about whether or not the administration is open. It seems the answer is no.
We'll assume. No, I didn't say that, Chris. And you don't need to put words in my mouth.
Well, you berated me for asking the question and made it sound as if I weren't caring about the situation. I think the cause of the storm matters.
I'm exposing the irony of the conversation. Here's the deal. You play amateur climatologist tonight, and I will play professional helper to those in need and continue in my job here as counselor to the president to help listen to the cabinet members, the president, the vice president, FEMA, DHS and others, General Kelly, who could not be a better chief of staff equipped for a matter like Harvey since he was at DHS and is accustomed to large-scale operations as such. And we're going to talk to the governors of the two states and the locally elected officials and the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, the faith-based groups, the volunteers on the ground, neighbor to neighbor, stranger to stranger, rescuing each other. I'm going to focus on them for in the short term, perhaps the long term, because I literally see people, I see pregnant women, including on your channel, who are in need, who say they're shivering or their kids are hungry or they're worried about their belongings or they had to leave their pets behind and somebody rescued them or they haven't heard from an elderly relative. That's what I'm going to do.
Good.
That's what we're going to do here.
You should.
I mean, wow. I don't think Kellyanne was going to engage Chris in the global warming debate, do you? I mean, and you play amateur climatologist, and he goes, you berated me for asking the question. I guess my question is, and I know that, you know, we're trying to engage in green energy and we're trying to have industries change into renewable green energy sources and so forth, but what are we, I mean, are people using the air conditioning less or heating their places less? I don't see a lot of people who are, I mean, you get plastic at the store, paper and plastic. You know, Brett Holsey, who's the environmentalist, told me I should don't get paper. I always thought paper was better because plastic, you know, just they just float around there in the ocean. No, there's plastic bags, no place for them to go.
Thousands of years or whatever.
But I guess if you use the same plastic bag over and over,
sure.
Which I have on my refrigerator, and there's just so many of them now, they just float off. And I just had to pick them off of the floor. I mean, they just float through the air in the kitchen. It's just disturbing. But I'm trying to reuse them. You know, I use them for food. But, you know,
how's that in that American
Brett will tell me. But, I mean, you and I, the average person, I don't know if this is working, because my stomach looks like Orson Welles on this Facebook shot. Orson Welles when he was on Merv Griffin at the end, you know, talking about Citizen Kane. Brian, who, you know, is much thinner than I, he's got the beard going with the always the cool shirt. I think it's the key.
Double.
You know, I look like a roadie for Bobby Darin back in the day. That or Sha-na-na. But the average person isn't doing much, is my point. I mean, I think people feel a little more, you know, inclined to recycle and, you know, things like that. I recycle and, you know. So, you know, do you recycle at all, Brian?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yep,
yeah.
Just recently,
I mean,
though.
But I think we do so much. I mean, I try to turn the windows. You know, it's cold, but I've been around people that can't tolerate any discomfort, you know, at all. I mean, it's hot. It's cold. I mean, it's, you know, they have no tolerance. I dated a woman who complained about the heat, and then she complained about the cold.
And the humidity.
And then she complained about the heat. So why don't you make her mind? Last night you were too cold, today you're too hot. I mean, what is it? You know, which doesn't really go over with a lot of women when you talk to them like that, which, you know, could be one of the many reasons why I'm without a wife.
Yeah.
What was the scene in Say Anything with John Cusack? Remember that? And he was having some trouble with his girlfriend, and all his buddies were on the curb telling him, hey, you got to let her know who's boss. You can't put up with any guff from her. You got to let her know. He goes, if you guys knew so much about women, why are you sitting on a curb alone at midnight on a Saturday night? Anyway, touche on that. We'll come back. I think Brett's going to call in and tell us why we have all these 500-year storms all of a sudden back-to-back, right? And they're more coming, aren't there?
They called it Harvey a thousand-year storm.
A thousand-year storm. What's Irma? Yeah, well, and by the way, who came up with Irma?
What?
Of all the names.
But how would they know?
Mike, into the mic, buddy.
They haven't been measuring weather conditions or weather results for a thousand years. How do they know what a thousand years
And who
ago
are they
was?
Anyway?
Yeah.
Are they the 90% of scientists who are all on the same page on this stuff?
Yeah,
of the 70 scientists who weighed in?
Soil analytics.
I don't know
maybe.
What you're saying.
We'll come back with more, and you can tell me whether we'll just... I mean, what are we supposed to do about it? My point is, global warming. Oh, you could help by not breaking the Paris Accord. Okay, fine. I have no control over that. Fine. But beyond that, you know, am I going to turn the lights off right now? You know, we're only on for a short period. I could do a three-hour show. I mean, come on. The Mid-Tank Show on Facebook Live and MadisonTalks.com.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, here we are, man. Brian Beebe, a real talent. People don't realize how talented this man is.
Yeah, stop it.
Piano bar singer up at Sorrento's in Wisconsin Dells, Thursday through Saturday. Fantastic.
Anybody
loves all the
it.
Classic nightclub performers going back to the 40s and 50s. No, yeah. he's actually a great guy from the 60s, 70s, 80s, yeah, yeah. Right? Is that fair to say?
Yep. You know, I'm starting to get into Bobby Darin.
Yeah, I hope so, because he was a wonderful performer.
He was a fabulous performer.
Let's go to Brett Halsey, who's playing three nights a week at the Waffle House in Wisconsin Dells. No, hi, Brett, how you doing?
I'm helpless as a kid in a tree.
Brett Halsey, who's running for governor. Environmental Solutions is your business, right? You do a lot
Better Environmental Solutions, yes. So.
What is it again? Better?
Better
environmental, as opposed to worse.
Anybody can have an environmental solution. I have better
ones. You have better ones, as opposed to, you know, crappy environmental solutions, yeah, which probably wouldn't be a good title.
And not best. That's a little immodest. So
yeah. Now, so I understand we have Irma coming into Florida, where my kids live, and Brian has a child there. And now we have another one, somebody said, after that. What's going on
here,
Brett?
They're teeing up. Well, we have record, you know, last year was a record high year. That means we have record high water temperatures, and hurricanes are caused by warm water. Warm air creates these killer superstorms like we saw in Harvey that just devastated Houston and the Gulf Coast. So.
Yeah. So global warming. So in other words, they're telling us that you have 500-year storms or 1,000-year storms. Brian, is that what you thought?
I heard one say that.
Back to back. So what does that tell us?
That means they're not fighting, you know, when it, you know, it's like playing a casino. You know, your odds of winning are 1 in 500. Your odds of getting these deadly killer storms are now 1 in 5, 1 in 2, you know. So,
could I bet on that at the casino? If I took you with me, it'd be like,
you know, I don't believe Las Vegas is giving odds on superstorms, but I guess they bet on everything.
We'd be like Rain Man with, you know, Dustin Hoffman and, you know, what's his name?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yeah.
Nobody wants 50 inches of Rain Man. A little Rain Man is good. But
I'm glad you added of rain, yeah.
50
otherwise
inches.
Otherwise, Vegas, yeah. Anyway, so what are we going to do about it, Brett? I mean, we've talked about this. Within the average person, I know there's debate out there. There are deniers.
You know, there are simple things we can all do, like put in efficient LED lights, prep our tires, you know, carpool, tune up our vehicles. You know, that's what we can do as individuals. But as a society, we can cut about 50% of our carbon pollution that also causes, you know, heart attacks and strokes, which I know you're, you know.
Is that why I had a stroke? Is that too much carbon?
You know, probably, you know, you may have had some bad dental work. You know,
yes, well, I always think it was that.
But we know that carbon pollution causes heart attacks, strokes, in addition to leading to these extreme killer weather events. So, but again, we can get about halfway to where we think we need to be just with stuff that saves money, like LED lights.
You said LAD or LED? LED, right. Are those the curly Q ones?
No, the curly Q ones are those are compact
fluorescents. So what does an LED look like?
LED is actually, it's a little, it's called light emitting diode. There's no old filament. You know, the basic light bulb was invented in the 1800s. So, you know, these are 21st century light bulbs. And they're basically a little
nothing burns in them.
Right. What do they look like?
I mean, I've seen them.
Some of them look like regular light bulbs.
Just look for LED on the
LED
box.
Lights.
Most bands.
And, you know,
use
I tell
LED
people you put them in the places in your house that you use a lot.
So I can use LED lights if I just look at the box and it says LED. I'll do that. Now,
and the prices are coming down. But as a society, you know, state of Wisconsin has 9,000 facilities. We should be switching all of those out to more efficient lighting. And we have a great fund here in the state with a board of public lands commissioners to do that. We can create over 10,000 jobs. But, of course, the knuckleheads in charge want to do away with that program instead of investing it in saving money and cutting pollution. So.
And you could make some money, too, off that, couldn't you, if you got the contract?
You know, other consultants, this is not, you know, I have made money on some of these projects in the past, but, you know, basically electricians, you know, lighting contractors.
I see. Well, no, I don't mean to get you in trouble. I'm trying to help your business if I can, but...
I appreciate that. But I don't want to seem like I'm, you know, trying to...
No, I understand. You've told me that, because we've talked about plastic bags, you know, the plastic bags at the store, which apparently don't disintegrate and they float around the ocean. And I've said, well, should I get a paper bag? And I think you said no. Is that correct?
Yeah, paper. I mean, I just went to, you know, the grocery store and got, you know, my pizza dinner, and I took a reusable bag. And, you know, the reusable bags, or even just... You know, reuse paper, reuse plastic bags. That's the easiest way to stretch your bag dollar. But, yeah, both plastic and paper are polluting, and, you know, it makes no sense to use it once, you know.
Right.
Use it as many times as you can.
So, in other words, I was fading away to some family item on the Facebook, but so paper and or plastic bad. You should buy a bag,
you know,
and reuse it, right?
You know, the most important thing is reuse paper or plastic
right.
or a reusable bag.
Well, paper's hard to, you get tomatoes spilling in the paper, it's kind of hard to...
Yeah.
Plastic,
you know,
and wash it, you know.
Then it's time to recycle it.
Well, those knapsacks, you know, when I see a serious environmentally conscious person, I'll see them bringing those green knapsack bags. Is that the way to go?
Right, and the green fold-out bags. You know, even Walmart gives
Yeah,
them
there's life. My engineer's got one. Of course, he, you know, he's a granola guy. I mean, he's probably back there listening to John Denver, but I guess he used to hoard the gas, too.
I just got a John Denver vinyl over the weekend.
Oh, did you? Okay, well, I didn't mean to stereotype, but I saw that bag. I thought, oh, my God.
Hold that bag up again, man.
Too bad we can't see it, yeah.
Oh, it looks like it had holes on it.
You know me, Mitch. I'm trying to put the conserve back in conserve.
Oh, but, you know, that would really make the conservative listeners mad on WIBA when you would say that. Boy, I'd get like 10.
You know, and it's because the root of conservative means to preserve. And
yeah.
Not only to preserve money,
well,
but also to preserve.
Yes,
you know,
but they wanted to preserve your, like, neck with their hands.
When you would say that,
they wanted to, like, pound you into the ground and make you, you know, recyclable.
They can't handle the truth. They cannot handle the truth.
Well, no, that's why I like having you on, because you know you like to stir it up and maybe. But so, I mean, aside from the Paris Accords and, you know, companies doing things voluntarily, what should we do? I mean, how do we make it happen?
Well, I mean, obviously the United States should be part of the Paris Accord, whether President Trump agrees with it or not. And if we're not, countries like China are going to take the lead. You know, they're building
China.
So
no, they have smudge and soot everywhere.
They're building wind farms and solar plants like crazy right now. That's where all the LED lights are being made.
Really, the Chinese? Well, do they have so much sludge in the water in the Olympics? They can't even ride the boats and the kayaks.
You know, and they're kind of where we were before the Clean Air Act passed, but they're catching up fast. They're not fighting a 160-year-old civil war. They are totally focused on controlling.
No, they're just
commerce.
Killing and jailing people that dissent from the government. But
it is not a democracy. But I mean, they are very focused on kicking our butts. You know, economic.
Well, they saved money on clothes all those years with those gray little shirts they had on, right? They all wore the same gray.
Well, now they're making, you know, cheap underwear for us, and you know, we basically outsourced our entire manufacturing, a big chunk of our manufacturing base to China. And actually, some companies are complaining China's too expensive, they're going to Vietnam now,
really,
you know, Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Well, my son is modeling underwear, he's probably wearing Chinese underwear. Then is that the
probably
fear? Definitely,
it's hard to get American made clothes these days, but the point is that when all that production's going on in China, it's more polluting. If we bring it back here, we can do it more efficiently and produce less.
Why don't you start producing some underwear in the United States or something, you know? Turn the corner, lead by example.
You know, you've seen my sewing, Mitch, you know, and I'm not sure that's, you know.
Well, you can hire a Chinese person to do that.
You've seen his sewing?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, I made Republican Party hats a couple of years
ago. Yeah, I know you did. Now, by the way, on that, and I'm going to get to the topic after 6, because you've been pretty loose with calling conservatives racist, haven't you, Brett, in your time? And
no, I never called Governor Walker a racist. What I called him out was on racist policy.
Ah.
Like, you know, doing away with in-state education for Dreamers. You know, one of the first things they did was get away with even, you know, gathering information on racist traffic stops, you know, by police officers.
Driving while black. Hey, Joe, what happened to Michael Sam, the gay football player? He got stopped and they put a gun to his head and said, don't move, or, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's...
He was in the wrong... He was in some apartment and there was a crime and he was walking the other way and they jumped him and stuff, and he says he hired a lawyer and...
Yeah,
what?
No, it's...
Going
it's,
to town, yeah.
It's out of control, you know, and but I called him out on the racist policies, not calling him racist.
But you're not calling, you didn't do what Dave Zweifel did in his column, and Zweifel's a friend of mine, but he pretty much said that everybody who voted for Trump is a racist, which would be 61 million people.
You know, David Duke endorsed Trump. The KKK endorsed Trump.
Who else were they going to endorse? They were going to endorse. See, Reagan got endorsed by the Klan back in 1980.
Well, and, you know, I sort of rest my case. You know, it's like, you know.
Well, that helped Reagan, though, because Carter made an issue of it, and it helped Reagan. Sorry.
But. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. As, you know, those of us, you know, from red states know, there's a big contingent out there that.
Yeah, you're from Oklahoma. I don't think a county went for Obama there.
No.
No, I'm in Indiana. A few counties went for Obama in Indiana, at least.
Yeah, Gary, you know, Porter County.
Gary and maybe parts of Indy. I mean, there were some precincts, you know, so what can I tell you? Even though I'm from Indiana. People, oh, you're in the Klan, Mitch? Were you in the Klan? I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, everybody is the stereotypes. Huh?
Klan marches down State Street, you know.
Really?
In Madison, you know, back in the, like,
oh, back in the day.
Oh, you know, almost 100 years ago. But,
yeah. Well, that's about the time that Woodrow Wilson was having that movie in the White House, right? Birth of a Nation, where they celebrate the Klan and the white hoods. You know.
That was a very different time than now.
So, well, Democrats.
But the point is, we got to call Republicans out on the racist policy. Going back to Nixon's
racist
Southern strategy
policies. I
of
know.
Using, you know.
Well, however back do you want to go? Because more Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act of 1964 than Democrats in the Senate.
Right,
that's
but
a fact.
Nixon started to use desegregation immediately for political gain.
Yeah, but his civil rights record was pretty good. You're talking about his campaign tactics. His actual civil rights record in office was pretty good. So, you know.
Yeah, he signed some good environmental bills, too.
I'm not a crook. In fact, we can't stand Pat. I always thought
that
was a strange.
When a politician says that, you know they got problems.
I've worked for everything I've got. Of course, he had a really strange nose, I thought, but aside from that.
He was an interesting guy. So.
Listen,
I
Brad.
Went to see my aunt took me to see him in Oklahoma City in 1968.
Wow, how about that? Now,
yeah, I was raised by Republicans, Mitch. I've seen the light.
Look, Brett, there's therapy available for you. I'm sure it's out there. But, hey, so you're on for governor. The website real quick for people who want to join your cause.
You know, I'm on Facebook right now, but I'm still, I'm still mulling. I just changed my status, Mitch. But I'm,
Your status? What are you, transgender, or what's going on?
I'm waiting to see how the field shakes up.
Oh, you mean you've changed your status? You're not running anymore right now?
No, I updated my status on the Uptick Sport website, but I am I'm still mulling my options.
Okay, very good. Brett Halsey, Better Environmental Solutions.
Better Environmental Solutions.
But you don't use plastic bags or brown bags. Just
reuse whatever you got.
Reuse, yeah. Hey, thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Friend of Trump, Roger Stone. You don't want to miss this. I know you're here now. You might as well. This is really good. Friend of Trump, Roger Stone, next. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith Projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money. People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
Yeah, well, it could be dangerous. We're back live, and friend of Trump legend Roger Stone, who... TheStoneColdTruth.com, The Stone Zone, I believe that's what it is. Anyway, hello, Mr. Stone.
Mitch, great to be with you.
It's good to have you on the show, and I know I did read one tweet where the sycophant media impeach Donald Trump 24/7 channels were excited about this DOJ finding that President Trump apparently did not have his phones tapped, and you said fake news. The FISA court already scolded the Obama administration for spying on 30,000 people. Your response on this DOJ finding?
Yeah, they're just simply wrong. The FISA court found in November, which was not reported in the New York Times, the Washington Post, but was reported by Circa News, and I have retrieved the documents, which are publicly available, that the Obama administration, under the direction of the NSA, spied on at least 30,000 Americans for what appears to be political reasons. I believe I was among those spied upon, which is why I have not heard from Mr. Mueller or his staff since they have read my email and monitored my phone calls and read my text messages. Mitch, they know I don't know any Russians, that I never had any communications with any Russians or anyone fronting for the Russians. So I still believe, as Judge Napolitano has also established, that Trump Tower was under surveillance, and the Obama administration actually used government spying agencies to do their political dirty work. This is far worse than anything that happened allegedly in Watergate.
Okay, but you say 30,000 Americans. What I'm talking about are, like you mentioned, yourself and a handful of people that really matter. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. But there's no recognition in any mainstream press outlet to that effect.
Well, but also nobody. The FISA court is a formal federal entity. It is their decision, or I should say, their documentation.
Right, but they said 30,000. They didn't say Roger Stone. And...
No, but the Washington Post reported on January 20th of this year, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, and Carter Page were among those surveillance.
Okay.
Now, Mitch, you're not questioning the great New York Times, are you?
Oh, never. I wouldn't do that. I mean, talk to Daniel Ellsberg about that. No, he probably loved him, too. No, all I'm saying is...
Actually, it's interesting. Ellsberg right now, and you know this, is an attorney representing Julian Assange.
Oh, is that right? By the way, Julian Assange, and I think now we're getting some traction on this
from Dana Rohrabacher, but this questioning of the premise that the Russians did the quote-unquote hack, whether it was just leaked information and people gobbled it up. I mean, we've been told 17 agencies, U.S. agencies, agree it was the Russians. Of course, only three were involved. But do you still question the premise?
Yes. A terrific piece in The Nation, hardly a right-wing organ, almost 2 weeks ago, which a number of counterterrorism experts have come forward and said the actual evidence points to a more likely scenario in which information from the DNC was downloaded to thumb drives and spirited out the back door. We have seen at least Craig Murray, who is a British diplomat, has come forward to say that he was among those who received that data, presumably from Seth Rich, although he has not said so, and passed it on to Assange. Again, Assange is a journalist. Are we accusing him of publishing purloined material? Well, then we better read the Pentagon Papers case, New York Times versus U.S. government. The Washington Post and New York Times publish classified, stolen information every day. That's what journalists...
Well, and we should say for the record, and I've been on the Seth Rich case because I don't know what goes back to my family mother's side. We had mafia killers on my mother's side. But, you know, the guy was shot in the back. They didn't take his wallet. But beyond that, Julian Assange went on international television and put up a $20,000 reward for his killer, which I'm sure Julian Assange doesn't do for every victim of a robbery gone bad in D.C. But yet,
precisely. I mean, so what that is, I think, is an indication that Rich is a source. Now, because he's a professional journalist, Assange will never come forward and say, yes, Seth Rich was my source.
But he did offer the $20,000 reward.
Which, if it doesn't say the same thing, then you're tone deaf.
Yeah, you're smoking something funny. And the press all went away on that because the family apparently said they're sick of the conspiracy stories. And Morning Joe and the rest said, you're crazy, and they were tweeting. Yeah, but why does Morning Joe or the others accept that it was a robbery gone bad? I mean, what's the basis for that?
Well, not only that, but if you can find a quote on the record from Seth Rich's father in which he said, in the immediate aftermath of the murder, his wallet, his ring, his watch, and his cash were untouched.
Right. So what are they? So they got to the family?
So the family reverses itself. The family first hires a private detective to try to get to the bottom of who killed their son. Then they fire him, and suddenly they have a paid spokesman whose other client turns out to be the Democratic
National Committee. Right. I saw him, on some show.
Can you say payoff? Can you say cover-up? Maybe they were threatened. Who knows?
Who knows?
But I just find it odd that any parent would seem to have no interest whatsoever in the murder of their child. That just makes no sense.
It doesn't, and it's reduced in the minds of the mainstream press to the conspiracy press and the conspiracy websites and blogs and your buddy Alex Jones. But as you say, Alex Jones has 5 million users every week, or what's the deal on that?
It can even be greater. In order to determine how many people are watching, you'd have to go to the 6 different platforms where it's up in real time, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and then, of course, later in podcast. 5 million on the low side. The Friday before the election, he had 18 million viewers. This is leaving, Sean Hannity in the dust.
And he sounds like Wallace Beery or Dwight Eisenhower on a good day. I mean, he's got that gravelly voice,
Yeah, he's kind of the poor man's Rush Limbaugh.
He's like Southside Johnny, we're having a party. Well, you have that sort of more preppy kind of Ivy League demeanor, which best way.
Well, but he understands that in order to garner an audience, of course you have to use sarcasm, parody, drama. You have to be interesting. You have to be fun.
What a concept.
Entertaining.
Hey, what happened to Megyn? We're kind of going off the track here, but just Megyn Kelly, is she done now, or what's her deal?
It appears that way. My last understanding was that her show was canceled. So in the great dust-up between Alex Jones and Megyn Kelly, he took her down.
Alex won in the long-range scheme of things.
His ratings in terms of viewers went up. And her show got canceled. Yeah, I'd say that he won that exchange.
Now, I want to come back after the break because you lived through Nixon and the silent majority and the fact that, Nixon beat McGovern by 16 million votes, if memory serves. And Trump has this, quote, 33%. I don't know if you agree with that number, but what's the plan going forward to try to pass legislation? Roger Stone, our guest, and also the sycophantic attacks against the president on his Dreamer policy. We'll come back. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to MadisonComedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click Shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
One thing that we really appreciated about Tim was his knowledge of the real estate market. Fair prices, what was asking too much, and he knew about development, who the builders were, and what their strengths were.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
Tim is a very fun guy, and it was a very enjoyable process.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Our guest is Roger Stone, who's the Netflix documentary Get Me, Roger Stone, highly acclaimed, fantastic, I recommend it. Had worked for the committee to reelect the president back in 1972, the youngest member of CREEP. Is that right, Roger?
Certainly the youngest member to go to the grand jury. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I thought it was cool because I masqueraded as Pat Goodell and got Roger Stone on the phone for like, not Roger Stone, but Roger Mudd on the phone for like 20 minutes in college. But you've trumped me 1,000 times over. This whole thing with the Dreamers, everybody in the press is killing the president on this, even though President Obama said in 2012 that it's a temporary stopgap measure. So how is this playing and how is this affecting his base and how do you see it developing?
I must say, I think the president has handled this poorly. I'm trying to understand where he is on this. All I seem to be seeing are mixed messages. He made several comments prior to his decision that seemed to indicate that he understood the atmospherics of being against children who come to this country through no fault of their own and who have, who have assimilated and who want to stay here and become and continue to be productive members of society.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was moving towards a grand compromise here that would sit well with the American people, but be, you know, acceptable to his base. Instead, he seems to have just tossed the ball completely to the Congress. And then, backing off of that, he says, well, if they can't solve the problem, I'll revisit it.
Right.
To me, it looks like missed opportunity. That's how I read it.
And by saying I'll revisit it, he's taking away his leverage if he wants to, you know, scold or prod Congress into doing something, because they then think, well, he'll just up the executive order because he'll revisit. What does revisit mean other than that?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think he had an opportunity to really not only do the right thing from a public policy point of view, disarm his critics, and steal a march on the Congress. I think you're exactly right. Now, if you're the Congress, you simply say, okay, he tossed the ball to us, we'll just toss it back to him.
Right. To me, if he gets tax reform, and now, of course, I heard somebody say, well, they're not going to do 15% on the corporate rate. They may do 25%, which, again, would be an improvement. But if he doesn't have the kind of Reagan-style growth that you remember from 1983, 4, and so forth, I mean, that's not good. I mean, he's kind of putting the pressure on with timetables being short and big agenda items stacked up and a recalcitrant Congress. So what do you see happening?
You know, I think the single most important thing that he can do is to go to the mat for a 15% corporate tax rate for businesses big and small. If our corporate tax rate was below Mexico, Canada, China, Japan, you would see companies currently doing business in those places because it's cheaper and more profitable come back to the United States to expand here, to hire here, to create jobs here.
We didn't recycle? You did recycle. Can we try to get him back? All right, sorry, we lost Roger Stone. A technical issue on the phones there, Brian Beebe, but certainly an interesting man, Roger Stone.
I did that.
That
was my fault.
You didn't do it. Your hands were not on the dials.
That was my fault.
We're going to try to get him back on. You know, people have talked to me, I shouldn't lower myself. You know what? He's a great guest. You know, guests don't have to be university loved. To me, they're going to be interesting, dynamic.
Well spoken, well thought out positions.
And he says hate is more powerful than love, and he revels in people's hatred. Those kinds of quotes.
Been around it for a long time.
Well, age 20 before the grand jury on the Watergate stuff. How about that?
Deep in it for that long.
Wrote the book on the case on the men who killed Kennedy, the case against LBJ. You know, of course, he's an equal opportunity critic. He wrote a book on the Bushes called The Bush Crime Family, book. Then he wrote a book on the Clinton women, the Clinton Warren women. No, huh? No luck? Oh, his voicemail, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, folks. We had Roger Stone. We lost the call. We don't know why, because it could be his phone, too.
Yeah.
It could be the president trying to call him, that kind of thing. But no, he was kind of down on the president on the Dreamer thing. And then he has his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, who is really hated by progressives, which, you know, big time, often called Jefferson Davis Sessions, doing the announcement. And they want Congress to change it. And if Congress doesn't change it, they will revisit. The point is, here's the deal. The opponents of any kind of immigration reform say it's amnesty. You can't give amnesty. You want to give amnesty. Well, first of all, How are we giving amnesty to children who didn't commit a crime? Did a child commit a crime by coming here with their parents when they're 5 or 3? I'm not sure. We got Roger Stone back on the phone. Sorry about that, Roger. We had some phone issues there. How you doing?
Yeah, probably the NSA. I'm quite certain that
probably
I've been
is.
Watched.
But here's the thing, and I know you're a master communicator, and I have this desire to actually tell the president, no, don't say that. When he says, how do you commit amnesty? Well, you're granting amnesty, which is the big talk radio conservative line. And first of all, if you're a child being brought by your parents, you're not committing a crime. You're a child. So I wouldn't think you'd have to grant amnesty to a child, first of all. And I kind of want the president to be able to say things like that, you know, on the fly.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I mean, I just think this was a golden opportunity to outmaneuver his critics. And I really thought he was going to gut up to it. He made a number of statements prior to his decision that seemed to indicate to me that that's where he was headed. And then suddenly, boom, nothing. Nothing.
Well, they're blaming
By the way, I'm told that Jeff Sessions was a major influence in this decision, which is yet another strike against Jeff Sessions.
Well, exactly.
So far, has been an extraordinary disappointment.
Well, Jeff Sessions, and bless his heart, he may be a wonderful family man and the rest, but when I look at him, I can't help but think he probably said the Beatles had too long a hair. They should get a haircut. You know, it just kind of, you know, reminds
me. Culturally, the guy is out to lunch. I mean, look, this is a guy who, as the Alabama Attorney General, supported a three strikes law in which if you were caught selling marijuana three times, you could be executed.
Yeah, Jeff is, he's old school.
Ernest T. Bass, he looks
Well, that could be true.
He's in the James O. Eastland brand of
Mississippi,
politics.
Mississippi, yes, indeed. Back to your white supremacy. By the way, and you're big on language. Now it seems that if you are conservative or you are in any way contrarian against progressive thought or Hillary or Obama, in media circles, you are now a racist, white supremacist, Neanderthal. I mean, it used to be that Nazis were Nazis and commies were commies. And I know Joe McCarthy went a long way on the commie thing, and people were afraid to say what they thought. But now it's gone the other way, don't you think?
Yeah, I really think one of the great contributions of my friend Bill Buckley, God rest his soul, was that he decoupled American conservatism from bigotry, racism, and anti-Semitism. It became perfectly respectable to be an enlightened conservative. Now, this all just has devolved into name-calling.
You know,
if you disagree, well, then you must be a white supremacist, you must be a racist, you must be a bigot. Or in the case of the allegations of Russian collusion, Mitch, my family members were mowed down in the streets of Budapest in 1956 by Russian tanks. Don't say I'm in bed with the Russians. It's insulting.
Yes. And I'm sorry about that, about your family. But because I grew up in Indiana back in the day when they would run full-page ads in Indianapolis Star saying, are you tired of Birch Bayh canceling Richard Lugar's vote? I mean, if you were anywhere left in those days, you were a commie, you were a pinko. So, I mean, that was that way for decades. And
well, plus, in reality, I think if they looked closely, they'd find that Dick Lugar and Birch Bayh were voting the same more often than they were not.
That's true. Well, that's true. And actually, the only Republican my mother ever voted for was Richard Lugar in that final primary where he lost to the guy on the far right. So it's amazing.
Once referred to as Richard Nixon's favorite mayor.
Oh, yeah. Back in 60, well, in 68, where they had no riots the night of the King assassination, which was interesting, and they credit RFK and, you know, more power to him, but it was a well-behaved city in that regard. But anyway, moving right along, if Donald Trump doesn't get tax reform done or something done, infrastructure, something, this year, how does it bode well for the 2018 cycle?
He has to either produce in terms of tax reform or he needs to position himself to run against those who have stopped him from doing so. By that, I mean running against the two-party duopoly, running against the elites of both parties by simply saying, folks, I put forward a program for reform, for economic revitalization, but these entrenched incumbent politicians who like the status quo, like things the way they are, have thwarted me. Are you with me or are you with them? Alternatively, he simply buys the failure or buys into the failure and bears responsibility for the failure of the Republicans to get anything done while they have control of both houses. To me, it's a Bill Clinton triangulation type strategy, and he seems to be headed in that direction.
That's true.
He's finally figured out that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are not his friends nor his allies.
Well, that's a good point. I think his going out in front on tax reform going to North Dakota Because Reagan would go on TV 2 days before the vote, and Bill Clinton would sell his stuff in front of the, above the press and to the people. And I think President Trump gave the baton to the Congress on health care. I hope he gets in front on this, and I'm guessing you're advising him to do that.
That would certainly be consistent with my advice. And so far, so good. This is the ballgame, in my view. If he can get us a corporate tax cut, which, again, is not just for Microsoft. It's also for the neighborhood grocery store.
Right, I agree.
You know, it's for the bodega down on the corner. Then I think it's a whole new ball game. But if he fails there, and if they, frankly, he should be horse trading, and he could have horse traded on DACA in return for funding for the wall.
Yeah, we could do that, or I don't know what's going to happen now. By the way, we got to go, but I think we just learned in recent weeks that the mayor of Dallas was a CIA informant, right? Going back to a quick JFK assassination question. The mayor of Dallas?
Yes. Of course, whose brother was an active participant in the
bad pigs.
In the events of that day.
That's right. And the picture of George Bush, I hate to sound like a wacko, but it looks just like him in front of the school book depository. And that looks like him exactly.
Yeah, although I must tell you, I do not think it is. I actually think his very carefully structured alibi, because he was in Dallas the day before the assassination, and he was in Dallas late in the day, but he is, in fact, photographed in Tyler, Texas, giving a speech, and the local newspaper reflects it.
All right,
what's interesting, of course, is, as you know, is within minutes of the assassination, he calls the FBI Bureau in Houston to establish his whereabouts. Why would he do that?
Yeah, and the photo just throws me. I'm not a big George Bush guy in charge of that, but the photo was a splitting image. And we do see General Lansdale walking past the hobos. And was E. Howard Hunt one of the hobos?
Certainly conceivable. I highly recommend to you my book, The Bush
yes.
Crime Family.
The Bush now, Crime Family, and also The Case Against LBJ, The Men Who Killed Kennedy. Roger Stone, thestonezone.com, and stonecoldtruth.com for your daily podcast. Thank you, sir.
Delighted to be here. Many thanks.
Appreciate it. Take care. Back with language, how we've lost language. I mean, everything's out of whack now. Name calling is back in vogue. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on Facebook Live and MadisonTalks.com.